So this has both a personal application and a corporate application. And for us to move into what we've heard, it, I think it also, as I look back, look at the interpretation that it has, God has given us as we read this, and what God is seeking to do in these last days, to have a company of God's people here and there that will actually be coming into the reality of what we can be in these last days. And you, God's remnant and this last generation, you shall be as God to Satan. You shall be as God to Satan. Now, that's ascendancy. That's a place that is what it means to be seated with Christ in the heavenlies. Ephesians 2:6. To be enthroned with Him, to get with Christ in the heavenlies. That is a place far above all rule and authority and principality and power, according to Ephesians 1:19-22. It's above. There is nothing above that. We know from Ephesians 4:10 that Jesus Christ has been exalted above the heavens. He's exalted above the heavens in order He might fill all things. So for us to come into that place that's above the heavens in Christ, then that means everything that's under His feet progressively becomes under our feet. That is the goal of the church of Jesus Christ, for the church of God in the final generation. To have a people that would to come into that place, that which is under the feet of Jesus Christ, Ephesians chapter 1, verses 19 through 22, is under the feet of God's saints. And what will the result be? When that happens, the God of peace will crush Satan under the feet of His saints, Romans 16:20. So any thoughts or questions about what we heard tonight? Anything that the Lord is prompting anyone?
I think my only thought as I'm in the middle of this process is about you know, we're paralleling Israel and their journey through the wilderness and out of Egypt, and I can't help but think through my entire life, and the foundation again, which we struck today, is just unbelief. Just, I do not believe God for this. And it does, it literally takes all the ground that the Lord could have to act on your behalf. It takes it from Him, and you place yourself in the hands of the enemy. And yes, the Lord still preserved my life, but the unbelief is just, and so here we come out of this unbelief. We it's wreaked havoc in my soul for, 30 plus years. And so what does it mean now to exercise faith? To exercise faith when, today we have this massive release of humanity in the epitome of unbelief, and then today, the rest of the day, I experience the results of living in unbelief for 30 years towards the Lord. And so what does it mean now to, yes, my feelings are real, yes, it feels like I'm making no progress, yes, it feels like God's not here, and that I'm being suffocated by evil all around, and all these feelings, but that's not the truth. And I think one of the greatest things I have battled my entire life and battled today is fear and anxiety. And I was just reading the end of 1 Peter, where it says, "And casting all your cares upon Him, for He cares for you." And I was sitting here like reading that verse, and I'm like, okay, well, that's not a complete sentence. What's the rest of the sentence? It's about humbling yourself, that God gives grace to the humble and resists the proud. And I thought, you cannot cast your anxieties upon the Lord in a position of pride. It is hand in hand with humility. And so I thought, okay, well, if I'm in a place of deep anxiety, I'm in a place of pride and relying on self. And so, you know, I've been listening to this, the testimony of Gladys Aylward, and she's just incredible, but she lived her life without a penny to her name from the time she was in England to the time in China all the way to America, and just utter dependence on the Lord, and the Lord continued to provide. But in her history, it's like I followed the trail, and every time where she was literally about to collapse from exhaustion, the Lord broke in and people got saved. At the moment, every time where she was about to collapse from exhaustion was the point when the Lord broke in on a human life in front of her and these people got saved, including an entire monastery of Tibetan monks. And it's like, and she said, literally, she said, "I'm about to fall off this pillow. I'm about to collapse." And it's like, and you look through her life at all these different points where she said, "And the Lord was travailing over the soul of the man in front of me." And she was at the point of collapsing. She hadn't eaten or drank for 3 days. And she said, "And the Lord was travailing over the man in front of me, and I was about to collapse from exhaustion." And I look at that, and then she talks about these massive blessings that the Lord promised, and then these people for 5 days in prayer and travail before the Lord, no time to eat or sleep, she said. And each time she witnessed these massive blessings was right before this one in particular. The Japanese bombed the city a week later and hundreds of dead bodies were strewn in the streets. And so the Lord visited these people right before the Japanese were going to blow holes through the entire city. And then again, she was in a different part of China, and within a month of this revival, the communists came in and beheaded half the students in this one place. After 3 months of persecution, 200 of the 500 students would not repent, and they beheaded all 200 in the city square. But that was right after 40 days of the Lord pouring out on these people. And so I'm just so aware of the Lord's kindness, and there's a preparation, there is blessing, but there's a standing in faith unto our own emptying, for the Lord to come in where, you know, like it says, and I've told Sally this countless times this year, I mean the past week, but weeks, but this past year has been an exhaustion of my own efforts. It's like after a year of my own travailing and my own striving, it's like what he said, the Lord had to exhaust Pharaoh of his resources. And I see that in my own life, so that the Lord can finally come in and make a name for himself.
When he sees their strength is gone and there's none remaining bond or free, and then he delivers them, was it in Deuteronomy 32? So I remember Stephen Kong said, God's biggest problem is not that his people are weak, he's that they're too strong. They're too strong. He has to deal with the our natural strength. For it's not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord.
I think that what really stood out to me was this one thing among many, but when all that is earthly is broken and set aside, God can do nothing so far as and until all that is earthly and broken is set aside, God can do nothing so far as his full thought is concerned. There must be defeat. But now Moses is in the place where God can do his own work. And we ask, why has it taken so long to see people, you know, here healed and all that? And I think it's because in a few of us who, you know, especially I think one person who's doing the work, I think he has had to be utterly broken, you know, and not just him, but me, and we aren't very many here, so really I think all of us. in one degree or another so that God can do his own work. Because it has to be his work done in his way. It cannot be man's idea of how it should look. It can't be our own human strength, of which, you know, we have had a lot. It has to be finally God being able to do his own work. And I think that's really what's happening now. And I'm not saying that it hasn't happened before, but I know I just, in my heart, as I read that, I thought, okay, Lord, this is where you're bringing us. And I really appreciated that. And there was just one other thing I wanted to mention. Oh, I think, Addie, you touched on it when you talked about unbelief, because I think unbelief is at the root of all of our sin, all of our, you know, shortcomings. We have got to believe what we believe, because we have a head full of doctrine, especially if you've been in the Lord, you know, a few decades. It's not that we need to know anything more. But I think, number one, we need revelation of what we know. We need God to bring us into revelation, which we saw in chapter 3. But we also have to believe, truly put our faith in what we have heard and act upon what we believe. So, and then the Lord all the time seeking to remove from us what is carnal and working the cross in us, so that there really is no ground for the enemy. And I feel like at this time in my life, being 62 years old, wait a minute, how old am I? 64. 64, I forgot.
You lost the
last
4 years.
Oh dear.
Yes.
You
dissociated them.
That's weird. Yeah, 64. I'm sure somebody listening will get a good chuckle out of that. But no, I'm not losing my memory. I'm 64. You know, I feel like, boy, he's able to deal more with the carnal now than ever before. And maybe it's just because I'm more sensitive to what is carnal. So, yeah, I think that's it. Let's see. Yeah, that's all I have to say.
Well, we have the author and finisher of our faith who lives in us, Hebrews 12. The author, Archegos, it means he's the prince leader, he's the pioneer, he's gone ahead. He's the prodromos, Hebrews 12, he's the advanced runner. He has lived the life of faith as man for man, he's perfected that faith. And now he's the prince leader and pioneer of that faith. And he's Archegos means he's the source, but then it says he's also the finisher. He brings that faith to completion. So the Archegos teleotes, the author and finisher of our faith, indwells us. What probability is there, if, in terms of God's provision, that we can get all the way through to God's end? It's about a person. He's the author and finisher of our faith. And in the Greek there, in the Hebrews chapter 12, it says he's the author and finisher of the faith. And the faith, it's what they call an anaphoric use of the definite article, it points back to all those Old Testament saints in Hebrews 11. It's a grammatical indicator. Oh, the faith. Well, what is that? He went through by faith, all these Old Testament saints. Well, he's the author and finisher of their faith. Now, press on. You're under the discipline of the Father. You need to go on. He's there. He's there to carry you all the way through. But you're under discipline. You're in child training. Because in chapter 12, verses looking off away on Jesus, author and finisher of our faith. For consider him who was faced such hostility of sinners, and do not lose heart and become discouraged. You see? For whom the Lord loves, he scourges and he disciplines every son he receives. He's citing Proverbs. My son, you know, David says to his son Solomon, or whoever the son is there, I think it's Solomon. So there it is. There's the discipline. There's the training. So we're in the school of Christ. So may the Lord help us to be reminded of what we've heard tonight. Anything else? Any other thoughts?
I would just you know, reflecting over the last year or so, that you know, the statement around how God just, he draws out Pharaoh and he draws out the enemy, and just seeing that so much of what God is was doing. And and I think if we don't while going through it, not really understanding his way sometimes, just freaking out, for lack of better words, or whatever that expectation is of the Lord. But just looking back and seeing what God was doing is drawing out the enemy, even in our lives individually, how much he draws that out in us to separate that out. And to really bring it to a head, because even thinking of one person who said this person said that they had achieved the fullness of Satan. And so to bring that fully to a head and to bring it out and to have that be manifested, and then to cause such, an extrication, you know, from that, from our midst, is really, I mean, that really is God doing that. I mean, for me, I just, because it just is an impossible situation for anyone to ever really come out of that, you know. And so for that to be really just seeing more and more how this work really is God. I mean, it just has to be God. Like you said today, only if he gives a strategy, great. If he doesn't give strategy, well, then what am I to do? I'm supposed to sit and listen until I can understand and listen and get my orders and not move until God does something. Otherwise, then it's just a mishmash of flesh. You know, my family members are tired of that. They're working on getting tired of it, I guess.
All right. Thank you, Father, for your faithfulness to us, and for giving us the opportunity to assemble together in Jesus' name.